Father, we thank you for bringing us together around your word. We thank you for your wondrous goodness and for your grace. We pray that you would help us to understand the things that we study, recognize how they apply to us individually in our lives, and to put those things into practice. We pray that you help us to concentrate and receive these things, and we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So as we were studying last time I was here, which was that 3 weeks ago? We were on the pastor's study on true faith, and we had gotten down to the Hebrew word kasa for faith. And kasa had the idea of fleeing to take refuge. And it has the idea that someone's under threat of danger, and because of that threat of danger, feels compelled to flee, to escape that danger, and to run to something for protection, to a shelter, to a refuge. And we have the idea of a little chick that sees a predator, and what does it do? It runs back to its mother to find safety under the wings of the mother hen. We have in the wild, if you're out in a forest and you're approached by a pack of wolves, best thing to do is to scramble up a tree to get away from those critters. If there's predators chasing you, and all you see are boulders and rocks around, of course you run to the rock. And for all of us in our lives, no matter what the threat, no matter what the attack is coming from, our rock is to be the Lord. We have four ideas. Again, there's the threat that someone is under, real or imagined. We have the idea that that threat has caused the believer to be afraid. And we know that Yahweh will protect us. He's promised to do so. And so what do? We flee from the threat to Yahweh for protection. And this isn't like an idea or concept of hoping or wishing or waiting for God's protection in the place that we are. We were to spiritually, emotionally, and mentally flee to Him. It has the idea of motion. We're going to Him. And it's whatever we've experienced in our lives motivates us to run to God for protection. And the wrong direction to go would be to run to something other than God, to the government for protection, to other people, or as many have done throughout the annals of time, to other gods who don't even exist for protection. In Psalm 32, 37, it reads, "He will say," speaking of the Lord will say, "Now, where are their gods, the rock they took refuge in?" And of course, a rock, as we've mentioned, is a common concept of protection, fleeing from wild animals, being attacked by men. You can jump up on a rock to have the higher ground, to have a superior advantage in the battle. But Yahweh's to be our rock, that rock that we flee to for our protection. And this is what David did when he was attacked by men. Psalm 7, 1 and 2. Remember that attacks can be from unbelievers, they can be from believers, and they can be verbal, physical, financial attacks, legal, or even emotional attacks. And so when we are attacked by anyone in any way, we may have this knee-jerk, you know, urge to attack them back. But instead of attacking them back, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to flee to God for our protection. Now we're on to Psalm 11, 1 and 2. In Psalm 11, 1 to 2 reads, "In Yahweh I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart." Now these wicked that were poised to attack David, some of them were believers who had gone apostate. Some of them never believed and were just wicked unbelievers. But they were fellow Israelites, and they were trying to assassinate the doctrinal believers so that they could take over Israel and bring it under the Mother Goddess cult. And David's own advisors were telling him to get the heck out of there, to go to a place of sanctuary for refuge, to flee like a bird. They said, fly away from the danger. But he could not and would not do this, for the enemy was at hand. Besides, he had already established the practice of making Yahweh his refuge that he fled to for protection. And that's what he was going to do here. Now we have Psalm 16, 1 and 2. And Psalm 16, 1 to 2 reads, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." So here, David doesn't tell us what the problem is, whether it was a foe or a sickness or just that he was, ultimately, just that he was claiming Yahweh's covenant promise to protect his people who take refuge in him. In Psalm 25, David finds himself yet again in a bad situation. There seems to be some problem with sins, but he's definitely in a situation where his enemies are seeking to destroy him. And David's prayer is that his enemies will not triumph over him. He does not want to be put to shame. So he tells Yahweh in Psalm 25, verse 20, 26, 20. "Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame." And he says, why? "For I take refuge in you." And then in Psalm 31, again, this is a 1 and 2. He says, "In you, Yahweh, I have taken my refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me." His enemies there in Israel had gotten involved in the Mother Goddess cult of Babylon. And the Babylonian cult always persecuted, intimidated, threatened, and harassed, and tried to murder doctrinal believers in Israel. And why wouldn't they? Being as behind the whole Mother Goddess cult of Babylon, the god was actually Satan. And Satan wants nothing more than to destroy doctrinal believers. Now we see in this passage the protection ideas of the rock, a fortress that David's using, and that Yahweh was his rock and fortress. "Since you are my rock and fortress," he says, "for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me." That's verse 3. So David also said that Yahweh was his shelter for protection, who protected him from the tongues of men and their wicked schemes. And this is in verses 19 and 20, which reads, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you." Again, fearing God being the healthy, reverent respect that we should have for him. "Which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." And in this passage, that taking refuge is in the participial form, which is they continually, consistently took refuge in him. "So in the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from the strife of tongues." Again, that's verses 19 and 20 of Psalm 31. So we have the problem of doctrinal believers, men and women, living in the land in the time where others have become wicked by turning away from God's word and away from anything to do with God. And the problem that made for doctrinal believers is glaring. So David wrote some words of instruction and encouragement to us about this matter as well. Psalm 37:40. This reads, "The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them," and tells us why, "because they take refuge in him." In Psalm 57, we read about David in a time that he had to flee from King Saul. King Saul and his men were pursuing him, and he took refuge in a cave. And in that cave, he cried out to God and said, "Have mercy on me, Lord," or God. "Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." This is Psalm 57:1. Now, David isn't saying that God has wings, obviously. This is a metaphor, and it goes back to that concept we talked about a little bit ago of a mother hen or bird of some kind, that the little baby chick needs to be protected from predator. And it runs to the mother, who then covers over the little chick with its wings. And there under the wings, all warm and safe, the little chick doesn't have to be afraid anymore. And David not only knew that the Lord would protect him, but God had a purpose for him in life. And that purpose hadn't yet been fulfilled. He hadn't been made king of Israel yet. So David ran to Yahweh for protection, and Yahweh delivered him. This action of faith not only saved him, but stabilized his soul as well. And we see that in Psalm 57:7, where he writes, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music." So even despite all of the turmoil that he was in, not only was his soul stabilized, but it was stabilized to the point that he's able to sing and make music. This is an image of him rejoicing in the protection that God has provided him. Then we have Psalm 64:10. This reads, "Let the righteous rejoice in Yahweh and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him." And upright in heart in this passage refers to David and all believers who actively metabolized Bible doctrine in their hearts through faith in God's word. And he's telling us to flee to Yahweh for protection and safety, as we see David doing here over and over. In verse 1 and 2, he wrote, "Protect my life from the heart of from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the noisy crowd of evildoers," which is what we see God doing in verse 7 when it says, "But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down." Now that's speaking in a future tense. He's talking about something he's believing God to do for him. He's not only running to God for protection, to find the comfort of God's wings covering over him, but he's trusting and believing that God will take care of those enemies. In Psalm 71:1, we read, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame." And again, David is surrounded by enemies who seek to destroy him, but he does not resort to the brutal oppression that the tyrants of power do, but flees to Yahweh to protect him and his monarchy. He does not want to be disgraced or fall into shame. He wants his adversaries to be put to shame and for God to be the one to do it. Verse 13 says, "But my eyes are fixed on you," which is an image of faith. "My eyes are fixed on you, Lord Yahweh. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death." Then we have Psalm 144, one to two. "Praise be to you, Yahweh, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." This is interesting here because you'll have some, what do they call them, conscientious objectors that believe that, you know, Christians or, you know, a lot of them are like the Jehovah's Witnesses and whatnot, that believe that there's, you know, people of God should never be involved in any kind of conflict or war or anything. But here, the apple of God's eye was trained by Yahweh. He acknowledges that God was the one that trained him up for battle. And when it comes time to defend ourselves from a threat, an imminent threat, obviously we need to defend ourselves. And God trains us up to be able to do so. But even despite that, he's still turning to God as his fortress, as his stronghold. He's turning to God to be his deliverer. And the shield, that concept of protection from the attacks of the enemy. And a lot of the, you know, we know that in general in our lives, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And it's the shield, our shield of faith that we need to be holding up at all times to protect us. And that faith needs a direction, and that direction is to be God. So we can take refuge in the name of Yahweh. Now we turn to Zephaniah 3:12. Where we read, but I will leave within you the meek and the humble who trust, and in this case, that word is to seek refuge, this kasa, who trust in the name of Yahweh. So the prophet Zephaniah is telling about what will happen to the city of Jerusalem when Yahweh destroys it, which happened in 586 BC. The people had become so arrogant, hateful, and defiled, negative to God's word, and rebelled against him to the degree that he was compelled to judge Jerusalem. God was going to rid the nation of all of these types of people with divine discipline, and that being of war. And when he was done, when all the dust cleared, Zephaniah is telling us that God would be leaving only the meek, humble, doctrinal believer behind, who had taken refuge in him. These were to be the remnant in Israel. The doctrinal are exhorted by Yahweh to seek him out for protection from his wrath. In Zephaniah 2:3, it reads, I will leave within you, sorry, that's 3:12. In Zephaniah 2:3, it reads, seek Yahweh, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of Yahweh's anger. And again, this kasa word for seeking refuge means to flee to Yahweh for refuge or protection. And not always from other people, but in this case, and sometimes, which we may see here in our own nation, we run to Yahweh for protection from Yahweh's own judgment. Now we have Psalm 118, 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in princes. The psalmist in this passage is in a bad situation, surrounded by enemies. He mentions that in the previous passage that they surround me like bees, that he was pushed back and about to fall. And Yahweh helped him in verse 12 and 13. In his anguish, he cried out to Yahweh, went to him for help and protection, and God answered him by setting him free. And he did this because of the covenant standing that he had with God. He knew that Yahweh had obligated himself to help his people when they called upon him. And this is in verses 6 and 7. Yahweh is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Yahweh is with me, he is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. And this word helper, this is Yatsar. Which is a covenant helper. The rebels in Israel who went down to Egypt to seek her help and protection were going to be cursed by God. This is Isaiah 30, 1 and 2. Woe to the obstinate children, declares Yahweh, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping Pharaoh's protection to Egypt's, oh, sorry, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. So we see the same concept of fleeing for refuge, but they went the wrong direction. Here, God was there, ready to protect them, ready to help them in a time of trouble. And instead of running to the omnipotent, loving God, they went to the Pharaoh. They went to Egypt. When God delivered David from the hand of his enemy and from Saul, he sang a song of praise to God. He says, Yahweh is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent men you saved me. That is in 2 Samuel 22, 3. This metaphor that we have here, a horn of salvation, is a reference to God being the power behind his deliverance. And if you read back through for verses 2 through 51, we're given a complete description of what went on. But the important thing in our study is the concept of David always turning to Yahweh for protection, provision, or whatever it was that he needed. David didn't hide from life. He didn't become a hermit and go off into some wooded area and live out the rest of his life hiding from things. He didn't flee to God under his wings to hide from what was going on in fear, just wanting to be there for the rest of his life until his life was over with. He went out and faced life fully. But when confronted with these kinds of situations, he always sought the Lord's help. And he went out and faced his enemies with the Lord. In Psalm 18, 1 and 2, David says, I love you, Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. The word for love here is racham. And it has the idea of a softness, of a tenderness. His heart was melted before God. And sometimes we make fun of an individual who loves someone, saying that he's gone soft. He's soft in the head or soft in the heart. But David also said that Yahweh was his strength. Most all men think that they're strong. But inside, even though most of us won't admit it, we are weak. This especially comes out when facing overwhelming opposition, when we need money or manpower, when we need firepower, whatever might be called for when we're faced with a threat. These things represent strength. But David's strength came from Yahweh, and he went to him for rescue, protection, help, or whatever it was that he needed. Psalm 34, 8. This reads, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Blessed is the Hebrew word esher. And the man who's taking the refuge in him is Geber. We've had Geber before. That is the strong doctrinal man of God, the hero of faith. And the hero is blessed. He's happy. And he's happy because he takes refuge in him. He flees to him for protection and safety. David would certainly know all about this because he had times where he neglected the faith in the word and the discipline that he had and had been overcome with fear to the point that he had even faked insanity before King Abimelech, drooling in his beard and running around like a wild man. That's what happens when we try to handle things ourselves, when we turn to the wrong thing for our protection and strength. We find out that those things don't actually protect us. They don't actually provide the strength that we need in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits. David's fear had driven him to a pretty stupid and desperate measure, but it had also decimated any well-being that had been in his soul. So it's no wonder that he says, "Happy is the man who takes refuge in him." Now, this provision from God is open to all believers, regardless of their status in life, whether prince or pauper, young or old, rich or poor, sick or well. How priceless is your unfailing love! Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. This is Psalm 36:7. God's protecting grace is open to all classes of believers. This idea of fleeing to Yahweh for refuge was a recurring theme throughout all of David's narrative, probably because of his background as a shepherd with his sheep and as a military man. Psalm 61, 3 and 4. This reads, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." And we see over and over that David is in one matter of threat or another. And in our own lives, we experience the same things. I mean, maybe we don't have kings trying to hunt us down and, you know, arrows flying our way. But figuratively, we do every day. Everything going just hunky-dory, and then you get some letter in the mail telling you owe this or that, and you don't have the money to barely eat, let alone pay this new bill that arose out of nowhere. Yet another arrow coming our way. But we, regardless of the threat, regardless of the trouble that we find ourselves in, we must run to Yahweh for our help, for our protection. And we need to do this as a way of life for our refuge. We'll go ahead and stop here this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing your word to us after these thousands of years that since they were written down. And we thank you for the promises that they bring. We thank you for being there to protect us, regardless of the circumstances. And we pray that we would recognize how to put these things into action in our lives and to live fully in them each and every day. We thank you again for bringing us together around your word and pray that you would bless these things to our hearts and our spirits. And we thank you and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.